Good to see all of you this morning on this rainy day. Glad you came out to be a part of our service today. Thank you for being here. Wouldn't be the same without you. Hallelujah. Well, we are going to continue, and I believe conclude this morning with a subject that we've been talking about for the last several weeks on regret. We've been talking about the three levels of regret. And this week, this morning, if you're taking notes, this morning's title is Victory Over Regret. So we've been talking a little bit about what regret is, how to handle it, and this morning we're going to learn how to get victory over it. Now, one of the things that you should know by now is this. In order to get victory over something, the way that we go about that is, what does the Word say? Because if we can find out what the Word says on a particular subject, where a particular problem is concerned, if we can find that in the Word and stand on it, that Word contains within itself the power to get the victory over that. So that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to look at our jumping off scripture, if you don't mind, in Philippians chapter 3. So if you'll turn with me to Philippians chapter 3, or you can just look up on the screen, either way. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12. And we looked at this last week into a little more detail as to what this had actually done in the Apostle Paul's life, what a mark or what a foundation it had created, what liberty, freedom that it had given the Apostle Paul here. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12 says, "Not that I have already attained, for I am already perfected, or that I'm already perfected." Now, I want you to keep in mind, most of the time when you see the word perfect or perfected in our Bible, you can substitute the word mature. It doesn't mean perfect as in without sin or perfect without that you don't make mistakes. It means mature. We're told over in Ephesians that the gifts that were given to the church are in order to help to perfect us so that we can grow into the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ. So perfection is actually growth into maturity where a believer is concerned. So he says, "Not that I've already attained or that I'm already perfected or completely mature, but I press on that I may lay hold of that of which Christ has also laid hold of me." So he is pressing. I want you to notice he said, "I press on." Pressing on means that you continue to go forward, correct? Have you ever, how many of you in here are runners? Raise your hand. How many of you have been running before? Now let me just check with some of you, since I don't do it very much. When you're running, is there a period of time that you get tired? Depending on whatever it is that you're running, whatever race or whatever workout that you're doing, most serious runners that I know, they don't do it casually. They usually push themselves because they're trying to get in better shape. They're training for an event or something like that. And so where running is concerned, there comes a time in that training or a time in that race that you have to get to a point to where you make yourself press on. Your body is wanting to quit. Your mind may even want to quit. But you reach down somewhere and you grab a hold of yourself and you make yourself press on. And this is one of the Apostle Paul loved using athletic events as examples in his teaching. And this is how he's describing this for us here. Verse 13. "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended or attained, but one thing." He said, I don't count myself to have really gotten a hold of something that's really, really good, except possibly this one thing. And that is forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. And here it is, again, is the pressing forward of... Think of this like as a race, that he's forgetting those things which are behind, and he's pressing forward to those things which are ahead of him. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So here he is. He said, look, there's one thing that I've gotten a handle on. And that thing that I've gotten a handle on is I have learned to press forward. I've learned to set things behind me and to push forward in my life. I've learned to put my past in the past. Now, I want you to look at something with me. You're here in Philippians. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This will help you. Second Corinthians chapter 5. And verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, that's something that's really important there. If you're in Christ, you are a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. So the things that were in your past are gone. You have become a new creature. Now, I want to tell you a common tool that the enemy uses where you're concerned. One of the things that the enemy tries to do is he tries to bring up our past. One of the things you have to watch is when you get around people you haven't seen in a long time, one of the things that they want to do is bring up all the stuff that you all used to do together back long time ago. Well, I hope for most of you that you're not that same person anymore, that you've changed, that you've grown, that you're living according to the Word. So we see that and look at that in other people, but we've also got to look at it where we're concerned, and that's oftentimes one of the hardest things that we do is we have... We have a hard time forgiving ourselves. We have a hard time forgetting our past. Now listen, I'm not talking about, when I talk about regret or things that we've done in our past, I'm not talking about, you know, I hit a 9-iron and I really should have hit an 8. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about, you know, I took the interstate. I knew I should have taken the back roads. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about regret things that you wish that you had, if you had the opportunity to do it again, you would change what you did. And usually regret involves, well, it can involve several different things, but usually it involves missed opportunity, or it involves something that you did to someone else. Now, I don't want to go too far into this, but have there been things that you've done in your past that when you think about them now, it puts a pit in your stomach? Don't raise your hand. But I mean, something that you did that when you think, I mean, it could have happened years ago, 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago, that you did something, and when you think about it, it embarrasses you all over again. You know what I'm talking about? Well, there may be things like that that are a little bit more of a serious nature. Now, I know that with me personally, and no, I'm not telling you all those things, but I know that with me personally, there are some regrets that I have on missed opportunity. That had I known at the time what I know now, I might have chosen to go a different decision. Some of the areas in my life have had to do with other people, and it's been something that I've done or said to someone that I know hurt them. And those of you that know me know that bothers me a lot. I don't like hurting people. I want to do the opposite. I want to be a blessing to them, and I want to help them. Now, some of those things are gone forever, and there's nothing you can do about them. You can't write them. You can't fix it. Those opportunities have come and gone. the people may have come and gone. But there may be opportunity for you to be able to resolve some of the conflict that you had with somebody. If you know you hurt somebody and they're holding it against you, then try to get that resolved to the best that you can. But the enemy is going to use your past. He's going to bring it up because here in this particular verse of Scripture, there was a time in your life at some point that you were under his control, that he was Lord of your life. I'm talking about the enemy. I'm talking about the devil, Satan. When you were in that kingdom, when you were in that kingdom of darkness, that you were lost. You did things not according to the Word of God and according to love. You did things that that just were not godly. But now that you're born again, now that you're living according to the Word, now that you're doing things according to the Word, now that the love of God is on the inside of each one of us, we're different. Well, the enemy's going to try to bring up things to you where he was Lord of your life. And he's going to try to torment you with those things. And what will happen is it will get you to a point, if you're not careful, to where you feel unworthy of the blessings of God. Listen, you're worthy of God's goodness. You're worthy of all the blessings of God simply because he says that you are. It's not anything that you did on your own. It's not because of your righteousness. It's because of this right here. It's because we were a creature, a person that lived in darkness according to the kingdom of darkness, but then we were born again and born into that light. And in verse 21, we read on down here, "For he has made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." So the righteousness is not of us. My point is this. Sometimes it's very difficult. Sometimes it's very challenging for us to look at ourselves the way that God looks at us. And you have to train yourself. You have to start thinking that way. You have to start looking at you the way that God looks at you, not the way that you feel, not looking at yourself according to your shortcomings. You have to look at yourself the way that God looks at you. And when God looks at you, he has a smile on his face. Remember, the Bible tells us that the reason that Jesus endured the cross, the Bible tells us it's because of the joy that was set before him. Well, the joy that was set before him is us, is the church. Us being able to be born again, born into that kingdom, is the reason he endured the cross. Well, if he was willing to pay that price for us, then we ought to be willing to lay aside our past where these things are concerned. Well, that's really good advice, don't you think? But how do you do it? Glad you asked that question. If you'll turn with me, we're in 2 Corinthians. Just turn over a few chapters to chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We'll be looking here at verse 3. "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." So we apparently have weapons. We apparently have challenges. We apparently have battles in our life. I mean, we're not denying that there's not a fight. "For though we walk in the flesh..." Now listen, this is very important. "For though we walk in the flesh, our war, our battle is not according to the flesh." Now, where do you think the enemy tries to attack you? He tries to attack you in your flesh. The thoughts come to your mind, but he's going to use your flesh to draw you into things. Remember, your flesh and your spirit are enmity. They're against each other. And your mind or your soul is going to choose one way or the other. So it's going to choose who it is that's influenced. If your mind is listening to your flesh, carnal-minded, then you're going to go that way. If your mind is listening to your spirit, then you're going to go that way. So there is a war out there. There is a battle that we're in. Now, listen to me. Your battle is not against the devil per se. You have to remember that Jesus defeated death, hell, and the grave, that Jesus got the victory for us, and he gave us power and authority in the earth. Is that correct? So in order to walk in that, then all we have to do is remember that we have the victory, and our battle is to stay in faith, not to fight the devil. The devil's already been defeated. So our battle is to stay in faith. So the enemy's going to come against you. Now remember this, that temptation, strongholds, it's talking about here, those things come against you in your mind. Sometimes those things come against you, and I call them renegade thoughts. You are minding your own business, and out of the clear blue, you'll get a thought that's just straight from the pit of hell. And if you're not careful, you'll get to where you're entertained. Now listen, there are times, listen to me very carefully here, there are times that those things come to you and there's a warning. There are times that things come to you and it's God trying to show you something. How do you tell the difference? When the enemy brings something against you, it's usually with fear. It's going to be usually with fear or something to satisfy your flesh. When God speaks something to you, it may be urgent, but there's peace that comes with it. That's one of the ways for you to distinguish between the two. But these renegade thoughts will come to you, and if you're not careful, you'll get to thinking about it. If you're not careful, you'll start entertaining these things that the devil brings to you. And I mean, it can be anything. It can be any area of your life. And it draws you against the things of God. Remember, the Bible tells us what things we're supposed to think on. Whatever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, and of a good report. The Bible tells us we're supposed to think on these things. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So when those things come against us, when we're under attack, if you will, that battle is going on, how do we wrestle with it? How do we fight it? I want you to notice also in this particular passage of Scripture that when those things come against you, if you're not careful, they'll turn into strongholds. Now, a stronghold is a whole lot harder to get rid of than just a thought that comes to you. Verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal. Remember, now verse 3 said, though we walk in the flesh, we don't war after the flesh. If you try to fight the enemy according to your flesh, you won't get the victory over. It'd be very difficult for you. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, or not of the flesh, but they are mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. Huh. That's good. Because strongholds will cause you to have stinking thinking. We don't want to have stinking thinking. We want to think the way that the Word says. So how do we go about that? Verse 5 tells us how we do this. Casting down arguments. Now, I like the way that the King James Bible words that a little better. It says, casting down imaginations. So casting down arguments or casting down imaginations in every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So if something comes against you, if something is coming in against you and it's contrary to the Word of God, then you have to bring it into captivity. You have to get control over it. Y'all remember how you do that? When thoughts come into your mind, how is it that you gain control over it? It's exactly right. I heard some of you say it with your mouth. When a thought comes into your mind, it's coming in here against you, and you're having a... Have you ever used this expression? You ever heard, you may have said it yourself or heard somebody say it, and that is, you know, my thoughts just ran away with me. And you'll get to thinking about something. Now listen, have you ever noticed how if you get to thinking about bad, negative stuff, one of the things that happens is your body will start reacting to it. You can let your imagination start running away with you, and you'll start living that. I mean, your body will start reacting to it. Now, that's one of the ways that stress comes in, is by doing that. Stress coming in, and it gets control of you, and it can affect you physically. So when those thoughts come in against you, now I want you to do a little something with me here this morning. Those of you that here that are in the church, and then those of you that are listening, I want you to do this. I want to show this to you. What I'm going to get you to do in just a moment is this. I'm going to get you to yourself, silently, to start counting. Now, don't do it yet, but I want you to start counting here in just a minute. Wait a minute, I hadn't told you to yet. And then I'm going to ask you a question. Now, when I ask you a question, those of you here and those of you watching on video, I want you to answer out loud. Now, you don't have to yell it, but answer to where you can hear it, to where you can hear you say something, okay? And we're gonna do just a little experiment here. All right. So right now, to yourself, I want you to start counting just very slowly. Now, starting off with 1, 2, there you go. Just keep counting to yourself. Okay, what's your name? Out loud. Okay. What's your phone number? Okay. Do you have any children? Yes? Okay. All right, stop. Where are you in your counting? I guess somebody said 5. Well, I stopped talking at 3. I mean, I got you up to 3. Do you see what happens when you are trying, the way that you combat a thought is by opening your mouth and saying something. When the enemy brings a thought against you, then the way that you combat that is by saying something. Now, doesn't it make sense that the way that you would combat that, the best way for you to do that would be by saying what the Word says. Say what the Word says. So whatever that thought's coming against you, speak what the Word says in that situation, and it will stop that thought. Now, sometimes things just don't give up that easily. So that thought comes back. How do you handle it? You say what the Word says. Open your mouth. Don't think it. Because now you'll get in a thinking battle. And if you get in a thinking battle, you're going to lose. The way that you combat is say the Word. You know, it's a good idea to get in practice of just learning to talk to yourself. You know, like when you're driving a car, I'm not talking about, you know, making people think you're crazy. But learn to talk to yourself. That's actually, you know, the Bible, remember Joshua chapter 1? The Lord was telling Joshua to meditate in the Word day and night. That word meditate is a very interesting word. When we think of meditating, we think of lighting candles and humming. That's not what that's talking about. The word meditate there means to mutter. You know what muttering is? We would say just kind of talking under your breath. In other words, you're talking in a way to where you hear something coming out, but the people that are around you can't really understand what it is that you're saying. I would suggest that you learn to start doing that, that you learn to start speaking to where you can hear stuff. Because, listen, You're going to listen. You're going to stop and listen to what you have to say. You like listening to you. That's the way we're designed. Now, we know in the Word, Romans 10:17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So you can get, do you get faith? Should you get faith if you're hearing me share the Word of God with you? Yes. But you know how you would that would seat down on the inside of you even to a greater extent? That is, if you hear you saying it. If you hear you saying it. If you hear you saying something, that word gets down on the inside of you and you like listening to you hear it, you're more familiar with your voice. Hey, listen, I want to ask you this question. Can you tell when you're lying? I mean, do you know if you're saying something, do you know if you're lying or not? Yes, you do. So you know that when you're saying something to you that you're telling the truth. And so what I'm trying to say is, of anybody on the planet, the person that you're going to believe the quickest is you. The person that you're going to have the most confidence in is you. Right? Amen. So these things work where you understand that there are different classifications of the enemy against you. There are principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in the heavenlies. So when these things come against you, and there's even things going on in the realm, the way that you operate where those things are concerned, even if all that's come against you, it's the same way. You believe something in your heart, and you speak it, you say it with your mouth. Believe it in your heart, and say it with your mouth. Amen? Well, listen, we're going to go ahead and close for today. I know this is a little early, but I'm at a real good stopping point before getting into something else. So we're going to go ahead and close. Trust that you got something out of this today. The way that you get rid of regret in your life is you take authority over it. You take authority over the thoughts that have come against you. So my desire for you is that God's richest and best are yours. And remember, there is victory in Jesus. Amen.